to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, I have a question. We get a lot of people that come into the membership and are working with you, and they say, you know, I get afraid because my heart rate gets up really high. And I wanted to kind of talk with you about that, because I know, like, I gave this story when we were off air, that I was working in the heat this weekend in Texas, and I take a break. I definitely do my yard work in the morning. Then I take a break at about 11. I went back out about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and started working in the garden again. And I just started feeling horrible. I was drinking Gatorade and it just wasn't working. And I looked at my watch and it said my heart rate, just basically doing next to nothing, was about 115. So I took a break, came back in for about an hour, let the sun go down basically 2 degrees, and then went back out and felt much better. But there's a difference between that and exercising and getting up to that rate, right?
Yes. Huge difference.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good conversation. Well, those of us that live in the heat, right? It's amazing how much exertion it takes to just be in it. And so there's a real true reality that if it's really hot outside, it is going to affect your heart rate and your perceived heart rate. Because of the heat, you feel more exertion. So I just, you know, and people that are running outside in the heat, that's a lot of training to, you know, hydrate, things like that. And also and acclimate, like get used to it. So a lot of times, and we saw this, by the way, for the Olympic trials, they had the race was in Florida and it was going to start at noon. And so the athletes, the runners petitioned, they all signed a thing that please don't make us run at noon. It's going to really affect our ability to maybe make the marathon, right? I mean, this is
right,
a huge,
right.
This is a huge thing. So they actually started the race several hours earlier. And because there's no way, no one thinks I'm going to hit my PR when it's 100 degrees outside, right? Like the ideal marathon weather is definitely somewhere in the 40s or 50s. So yes, that's a really different exertion, but you have to respect it. So that's important because, you know, again, people that they go hiking or they go running and they're like, I didn't even feel like I was working that hard. Or conversely, things like you did, like working outside or mowing the yard. So we were kind of teasing. A friend of mine's husband got a weighted vest for his Father's Day present. Right. And their kid runs at the track for, you know, whatever, football practice. So Sunday night, they went out and he's like, I'm going to walk the track with it. And then I'm going to mow the yard with it. Like, I'm just going to do everything with this thing on. Right. And he's not conditioned. So he did like 2 laps. And this is again, Texas. It was 7 o'clock at night, still in the 90s. I mean, my friend was laughing. He's fine. But she's like, he had to sit down and drink water. And he kept saying, I can't believe it. What's the problem? Well, it's not just even the heat, but it's the humidity. So
right,
that is
right.
Not the way you want to go up in a zone. Like that is not zone training. That is like, I'm suffering in the heat and I need to get out of the heat and things like that. So that's a very different thing. However, on the other side of that training, let's say there's no issue with heat. Like let's say the temperature's fantastic. You're either inside climate controlled or whatever, it's outside and it's nice. We find that a lot of people are really hesitant to go past like zone 2 or 3. And so when you first start learning to be more efficient in your running, and this happens to everybody, almost every runner that we get, 99.9% are using their musculoskeletal system, which is your muscles, right? And your joints and all that. However, they're using minimal amount of cardiovascular. So their running is more almost like a strength training than it is a cardio exercise. And that doesn't mean you're not exerting. And this is a real challenge for people. So what happens is their heart rate goes up in the beginning only, guys. You acclimate and then you actually are 10% more efficient. But in the beginning, your heart rate goes up because you've never been this efficient at running. And all of a sudden now your muscles, instead of having to overwork, are only working as much as they need. So their effort goes down. But then all of a sudden you realize how much more cardio conditioning running actually is. So it scares people in the beginning. And I always say to them, don't worry, like you're fine. You're not going to be able to go run 10 miles like this. But what we find is there's and we just had a clinic last weekend. So people were openly talking about it. There's this strange thing out there that people keep telling people, don't get out of your zone. You know, run slow to run fast. Well, not really. It doesn't work that way. And run slow is hard. Like that's actually harder on the body. So we're like, we're going to work on your muscle elasticity. We're going to work on your ability to sustain your running with less fatigue, less impact. And I promise you, you will become more cardiovascular efficient, but you have to go there. Like you have to let yourself go there a little bit and be okay with it. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of people will call it like the pain cave. Everything has to be so aggressive, right? Even like zone five, like it's also, and I'm like, instead, like, again, it goes back to like, we were talking about playing like a little kid. If we were outside, we didn't have our heart rate monitors on, we were just a kid. And I said, hey, I'll race you to that tree. You wouldn't be like, well, I don't know. I don't want to hurt myself. Like we have to get back to letting ourselves, it's called free falling. Running itself is free falling. So in the beginning, it's like, you have to go to the scary place a little bit of free fall. And it can be just like 10 steps. And this is what we encourage people. Like we're asking for like 10 steps and it's like a crazy 10 steps, but then all of a sudden you go 20 steps and it doesn't feel so crazy. It starts to just feel fun. And then all of a sudden you can go 30 steps or 50 steps, and then you can go at any pace you want. But if you never let yourself get past the point of comfort, right? And that's the fear we talk about. So it's not the same fear like, oh my gosh, it's 120 degrees outside and my heart rate's up and I'm not even working out. That's a very different fear than, oh my gosh, I've never been here before. That's what I think people are a little bit scared of. Because I tell people, your body doesn't stay in, there's no way, like nobody is sprinting for hours, but it's amazing. It's like, and we see it all the time. There should be a fear of falling. It's a healthy fear, right? I don't want you to actually trip and fall over, but it's amazing how we have to kind of condition ourselves to be okay with that sensation by letting ourselves go through it. And instead of thinking like it's a pain cave, start thinking of it more like it's a place of thrill, like a roller coaster ride. You know, like it might look scary when you're getting up, you know, going up, 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 up. But then all of a sudden you get to go down that first time. And then you're like, ooh, I want to do that again. But if I never do the ride, how am I going to know how to feel it?
Right. Absolutely. So that being said, when I'm, you know, driving around town here or really whenever, when I'm in Wiley or I'm out here in East Texas, I always see at least one runner trying to run at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I know what they're doing. They think they're trying that they're heat training, right?
All
and
right.
In some ways, I kind of wanted to ask you about that because one, it's a twofold question. One is that a way to heat train? But then two, if I'm a slower runner or I'm not a front of the pack runner, and if I am going to go run Chicago or New York or even Dallas, and I know that I'm going to start at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, my start time's not going to be 7:30 just because of the way the corrals are. Should I run later in the day? Should I run at 9 o'clock? What do you suggest to kind of train my body to get used to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you definitely want to train in the conditions you're going to be in for your race, right? But you want to do it in a smart way. So I would do something like if I wanted to just see how it's going to feel. So for example, all the trail runs in Texas are like June, July, August.
Right. Yeah.
The hottest part of the day. And right. I used to do, there's even a ride called like the hotter than hell 100, the hottest marathon in Texas. I mean, it is a real thrill for people to run in the heat, I guess. So yes, if I was going to train for a hot event, you definitely have to do some heat training. That being said, you'd have to really monitor. This is when you've got to monitor hydration. You've got to monitor what you're eating. You need to take it seriously, right? And a lot of people go run out at 2 o'clock because they think they're going to burn more calories and they're sweating more.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, well, again, that goes back to, again, yes, you're sweating more, but you're actually putting stress on the heart that's not positive. That heat stress is not a positive stress. And in fact, it's a dangerous stress. So that's something I would do in a controlled setting, like maybe a short loop where I could stop, get water, things like that. You know, when like we go back to that Olympics conversation, a lot of the athletes were putting treadmills inside of saunas and running inside of a sauna to simulate that heat, because that's like that's what we're going to run in. So we're going to practice running in it. And so there's definitely like something to be said for that. I just, again, would be careful with it. And me, like I'm a good example. I run outside all the time. And I'm more affected, by the way, as I get older, I'll be honest. I tend to do the majority of my running at 5 a.m. when the weather is going to least affect you. Like it's dark. So if it's hot, it's hot, but you don't have the sun. And like today I ran, at 5, and then I went for a second run because I'm a fun that way. And I went at 8:30. And I'm telling you, it was amazing the difference. The sun was out, like 85 degrees, 90% humidity. And I had to stop twice to drink water because my heart rate, like you're like, my heart rate was 115. Mine was 175.
So
I knew, like, I was like, okay, you need to just pull over a second, drink some water, bring it down and restart. And there's a 120 rule for endurance athletes. Like if your heart rate goes back to 120 within a minute and a half, you're probably fine. If it doesn't come back down, you're probably overheated. It came back down, no problem. I reset, I started running. But it was like, you know, if that happens, if you get a little overheated, you know, pull over, stop and drink some water and get in the shade. But it was amazing because this morning when I ran, my heart rate was like 135. So that's when you know it definitely is the heat that is doing this to you. So instead of trying to set a PR, I just relaxed my pace. And, you know, like I said, I stopped and drank water, still had a good run. So that's all I would just say. If you're going to put yourself in these hotter environments, just please hydrate, electrolytes, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, if you have questions for Valerie or even for myself about mindset and strategy when you're running, it comes up a lot with our members. You can reach out to support at runrx.fit. That's support at runrx.fit. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.